Well, last session on Flotsam and Jetsam, our investigators were hired, or at least are on a job for Elijah Cleaver of Strange But True magazine, and have travelled up to Ipswich in Massachusetts to investigate, well, the background of a story that was published in the local newspaper there that suggested that there was a local man by the name of Otis Fry who believed he is from the planet Neptune and is trying to make contact with his star brothers. There are some strange things going on in town. Apparently government agents dressed in black wandering around, that there are strange lights up in the sky. And, you know, Mr. Fry himself has been going around paying for odd supplies using gold coins. So the investigators arrived in Ipswich fairly late in the evening and decided to use their time wisely and headed straight out into the salt marshes to see whether they could see any signs of these lights in the sky. There they had a run-in with a car full of strange characters dressed apparently in black who ran them off the road. And then as they followed the car down through the marshes, trying to catch up with it, as we left them, they had seen a bluish-green light shoot up into the sky. And shall we pick up again from that point? So you have seen this bluish-green light, as I say, shoot up into the sky fairly fast, and is now travelling overhead. What I will say is, anyone who wants can give me a listen roll.
Did not put points in listen. 97 versus 20. What?
Okay.
My rolls.
Jesus.
And mine is at 91 versus 20, so.
69 versus 20.
37 versus 20. It's really windy in the marshes.
Please don't ask us for any more listens.
Okay, so none of you notice anything. On the other hand, the Major has just fumbled. So I think your ears just about catch something. You think you hear some sound related to this light that is passing overhead. And as you try to follow it, you try to work out what's going on, you walk through a patch of reeds and you realize that there, behind some of these quite tall reeds, there is a shack on the other side. And as the Major just kind of separates off from everyone else, listening, trying to figure out what's going on overhead, he suddenly hears from the shack the very distinctive sound of a gun being cocked. Now, let's move back to the others. So, yeah, as you've been looking at this moving light overhead, you've lost track of the Major, but he doesn't matter for the moment. Is there anything you're doing about this, or are you just watching it disappear off?
If there's time, I want to get my camera out to get anything of this. So.
And Tony's going to be scribbling down a description at the same time while he's happening, like trying to any detail he can. Direction, color, shape, kind of, for the article.
Okay. Then, I'll tell you what, give me a photography roll for Nigel, just to see how well he picks up this moving object.
Oh, 1920s film, moving light at distance. I'm sure this is going to be a fantastic picture. I got a hard success.
Oh, okay.
17 out of 39.
So, yeah, you think that despite the movement, now that it's moving overhead and moving away from you, you realize it's not actually moving that quickly. And yeah, you can probably get a frame shot so you've got some of the reeds in the foreground and gives it a bit of context and this light up in the sky. I mean, it's going to be a black and white photograph, so it doesn't quite get the eerie bluish green glow, but it's certainly got to show something. Is Frida doing anything?
I think I'm just going to watch the sky and, you know, I'm actively trying to listen for something. Okay. And I'm not hearing much of anything. So I don't think I'm doing anything
okay.
positive.
So, yeah, I mean, it disappears off over the marshes out of sight. Now, meanwhile, the major. So, you, like I say, you had stumbled through these reeds and you realize that you are actually on someone's property. And there's a dim light coming from one of the windows. And the front door is open. And you can just see outlined on the porch a human silhouette and the glint of what looks like a shotgun barrel pointed in your direction. And you hear... You hear this old woman's voice just saying, "Are you a witch?"
No, I'm unarmed. I've just stumbled across off the pathway. My name is my name.
Fletcher.
My name is Edmund Fletcher. I'd just staying in the nearby town, just gone for a evening constitutional, saw a devilish green light above.
You've come for a walk out in the marshes at night, like the witches do.
The witches? Are you saying there's witches in these marshes?
Of course there are witches in this marsh. Well, if you aren't a witch, why are you out here? You aren't just out here for a walk, are you?
No, of course not. No, that would be insane. I'm actually a journalist. I'm investigating a curious fellow who calls himself the Moon Man. I don't suppose you've come across him, have you? Otis Fry.
I'll tell you what. Give me a persuade roll, I think.
That is a 45 versus 70.
Ooh, you are persuasive.
I made a proper Call of Cthulhu character for the first time.
Oh my god, I can't believe it. He's not put everything in. He's brought 19 guns to the gunfight, but he's not wasted it all on combat skills.
He's got. I've got library yeast. I've got psychology.
So you see the gun dips slightly. What, you're interested in the Fry boy?
Yeah, I'm just going to reach into my pocket, but I'm just getting a notebook. I've not got a weapon or anything.
And suddenly the gun comes up again.
And he opens up his coat and he reaches in, very, very clearly reaching for a notebook. I'd love to take down any information you'd have. It would be very useful. What did you say your name was?
I didn't. But you can call me Mrs. Eisner.
Eisner, how do I spell that? Just for the magazine, of course. I'm just getting it wrong.
She looks at you just very suspiciously. What, you want me to be giving you the accurate and true spelling of my name, like a witch would?
If you wouldn't mind, of course, yes. If it makes you feel any better, I don't have a cat or a broomstick.
I mean, you can't quite make out the expression on her face because she is in silhouette, but you can just feel her eyes narrowing.
So, tell me more about this. Either about Mr. Fry or these witches you seem to be so concerned about. We just saw a strange light above, is it? Was that something to do with one of them?
Oh, yes. Oh, when the lights are out, that's when the witches are out. And, I mean, while this conversation is going on, I mean, the rest of you obviously, you know, have lost sight of the Major, but you can now hear this conversation going on from the other side of this reed bank.
I guess I've got nothing else to do, so I'm going to pull out the half-wrapped sandwich I saved from the train. And I'm going to start walking over to the general.
No, never made it quite that far, no.
Major. Generally a major, okay.
I was a lieutenant, but I had a field promotion.
Oh, hey there, Major. Sorry, we lost track of you.
And suddenly the gun really jerks up this time. And the woman says, you are witches.
Oh, surely you don't believe me to be a witch, folk? No. I'm just here. I've got my, I'm looking for ducks to be hunting, you know? And I'm going to take out my duck whistle and do a duck call. You know, it's duck hunting season. I'm teaching my boys here how to get a couple of birds.
So, Mrs. Eisner, this is a good friend of mine. This is Frieda May. She's a journalist and a duck hunter.
Diver and duck
and
hunter.
And mermaids.
Well, it's a darn pleasure to meet you, ma'am. And I'm just going to walk forward. You know, guns be damned.
Okay. Well, happily, the major did pass his persuade roll earlier, so... The Widow Eisner does not shoot you, but she is looking very cautious. Are there any more witches out there?
Oh, no, sir. No, ma'am. No witches. There's just the four of us here.
Four? That's...
You've met the Major.
That's almost...
I'm Frieda May.
That's almost a whole coven's
worth. And then we've got
two
young fellas. I don't know nothing about no covens. Would you like a half a sandwich?
What kind of sandwich is it?
It's a chicken salad sandwich. I got it off the train. It's got little pecans in it and some of those pineapple tidbits. It's the only time you can get pineapple. And I'll unwrap another half of the sandwich. I'm just pleased as punch to give you half.
And yeah, she drops the barrel of the shotgun and reaches out tentatively for the sandwich.
It's a croissant, like the French give you.
So, Frieda, Miss Eisner was just telling us about witches, and I believe you said you knew Mr. Fry as well. The
Major,
man.
Give her a second to enjoy her sandwich.
She's sniffing it suspiciously.
Jiminy Cricket.
I might have a thermos full of tea here, actually. Just hang on a second.
He's from England.
The cops are coming for that. Obnoxious sounding sandwich. Yeah, pecans have appeared in it now with the raisins and the pineapple.
Oh, yeah, I forgot it was raisins and apricots.
Yeah.
I'll close that window.
Here's Manchester for you, lads. I told you it was rough.
It's Manchester for you.
But yeah, she sniffs it and she says, oh, this is very funny bread.
Oh my gosh, it's delicious. It's pretty much nothing but butter and flour. So take a bite. And I'll take a bite with her, just, you know.
Okay, she takes a hesitant bite and then starts gumming it enthusiastically.
It's delicious.
Mm.
Do you mind if I call the boys up and maybe we could chit-chat with you a bit?
Suppose. No, not for too long, though. It's getting late.
Oh, absolutely not. We've got to be back in bed by 9 o'clock. We've got an early morning about us. So, what were you saying here, Major? You were taking some notes over the blue flying skies and you're afraid of witches out here? Did you get much witch activity?
Oh, yeah. You hear them some nights. You hear them some nights out there on the marshes, making all those strange sounds, singing, calling up the devil.
Oh, indeed, of course. I'd say, is this every night, or is it just...
Not every night.
On a full moon or something?
No, it's not during the full moon. It's normally when the moon's dark.
When was the last time you heard these sounds?
About 10 minutes ago.
Really? Because we were almost knocked off the road. We were knocked off the road. By a black car, expensive number, a number of people inside, heading down... Where does this road go to, actually?
It goes down towards Innsmouth.
Innsmouth? That sounds like a remarkable place. Is it friendly?
No. No, you don't want to go there.
Okay, then, we'll leave Innsmouth right off of our expedition here.
So you were saying about witches. Were these witches from Innsmouth?
I don't know if they're from Innsmouth. Well, they've got funny sorts down there, so it wouldn't surprise me if they had witches there, but no, they're witches. Witches out here in the marsh. They come out sometimes when you see the funny lights in the sky and they're singing their songs.
Oh! Singing their songs. Do any of these witches perchance wear a fedora and some black trench coats?
Yes. I have seen some of them wearing black coats, yes.
I think we may have seen some of your witches, indeed, in this black car that took us by surprise. When you heard them singing 10 minutes ago?
Yes, about 10 minutes ago.
Could you perhaps hum the tune for us?
It's not like a song. It's more, like animals crying. You know, like witches do.
My God.
Could it be a mechanical sound?
Mechanical? She said animal. Major, clean out your ears.
What I was more thinking of is, radio being tuned or...
A radio? What would I want with a radio?
That's too noisy for me, if you
ask me. Oh, yes. You never know what you'll hear on one of those things.
All sorts of music. And talking.
Oh.
You know...
As she shudders.
People of our age, we don't want to be talked to when we're not wanting to be talked to.
Exactly.
A radio just goes on and on.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and he can't talk back to a radio.
Well, you certainly can, but they're not listening.
Oh, just like men.
They're exactly like men. No good. Good for nothing. Sorry, fellas.
So you were talking about the witches?
That's exactly what we were talking about, Major. The witches.
Witches. You broke me. I was trying to make that laugh, but just the resentment.
I keep on not looking at you.
Witches. I'm sorry. I was trying my best to stay silent for all of it. Oh, that was great.
We're also hoping to. You said you might know young Otis, Mr. Fry.
Oh yes, him and his mother. They've lived out here for a long time. Out on the road.
Oh, they live out in the salt marshes.
Yes. I see young Otis walking through the marshes all the time. He's always carrying funny things, like metal and hose pipes and things that glint. I don't like it.
No. Well, you know, these kids, they don't know a good day's work anymore, and they've got all these hobbies and things that they keep on trying to push on all of us. I don't have time for hobbies. I gotta work, you know? That's how we were raised.
Yeah.
You said Otis has lived around here for a long time? So why is anyone listening to him being a moon man? I thought he was new to the area.
Oh, no.
This is young Anthony.
The widow Eisner looks at him suspiciously.
Like half bows his head.
Oh no, he's a good boy.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Look, I mean you no harm. I'm in a scarf, for God's sake.
What does that mean?
That felt offensive after I said it. I wear scarves myself. It wasn't a slight, and people wear scarves. It felt very weird and pseudo attacky of people who wear scarves. I love a good scarf, or many knitted scarves.
We are pro scarf.
Yeah. Oh, God. Look, my character, I don't think he's not that intelligent. He's reasonably intelligent, but he just seems young and stupid in my mind. That's where he's gone. So
young Anthony here is one of the up and coming journalist from New York.
Yes, I am. And look, genuine look of surprise. And Anthony says, I am, 100%.
Oh, don't trust people from New York, big cities. I mean, they're almost as bad as people from Boston.
I know. They've all got the real funny accents, which you can't understand a word of what they're saying. But these two boys, I think they're actually transplants. I think they come from New York, but the right way, if you know what I'm saying. And we've got a young Mr. Nigel here. He's got a photograph machine. A camera? Is that what you called it? A camera.
Yes, ma'am.
He's got a camera and he can take a photo of you. Have you ever had your own photo?
I think 100% myself and Nigel are so intimidated by Frida and our badass like diving gimmicks. Like, yes, ma'am. 100% ma'am. Two bags full.
Brother, I'm from Missouri. I'm used to hill people. I'm just not used to swamp people.
Everything's so flat around here.
But when you ask the Widow Eisner whether she's ever had her photograph taken, I mean, she just shakes her head and actually looks a bit meek for a moment. Do you think I should have my photograph taken? I never thought to get
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
Well, I can do that for you.
All right.
Right here, got my Kodak.
Is there a special place which you want to have your photo taken in front of?
Maybe by my fireplace.
That's a lovely idea.
Oh yeah, we can do that, and go along with any story you say about these witches. We can get a photograph of that.
Let me see if I can arrange these torches, give a bit more light on the situation, see if we can get a really good.
I got some flash powder here, but I don't know if she's gonna, react well to that.
Well, witch! It's a witch!
There's ducks here. We'll be weighing people against ducks to see if they're witches.
Well, don't use any of those hunting ducks, man. They can't be trusted.
So the Widow Eisner backs into her house. It's not desperately well lit. I mean, there's a couple of lanterns burning aside. I mean, there's definitely no electricity. And as you step in, it's got a bit of a musty smell to it. Perhaps a bit of mildew, as you'd expect from a wooden shack out in the salt marshes. In the light, you can see that there's a sort of metal wood-burning stove that's puffing away. There's an open fireplace that's smouldering as well. There are bunches of dried flowers and herbs and reeds dangling down from the roof. But the main thing that strikes you is that she either must really love or really hate frogs, because just about every surface in this place is covered with stuffed or taxidermied frogs. Some of them are posed in positions where they seem to be dancing. Some of them have got little top hats on. Some of them are arranged like they're playing, little musical instruments that she seems to have carved from stuff. A few of them are just engaged in different types of sport. But everywhere you look, there are just these little dioramas of stuffed frogs.
I can safely say I've never seen anything like this before.
This is just about the cutest display of frogs what I've ever seen.
Oh, they are darling, aren't they?
Do you stuff these yourself?
Oh, yes, yes.
What do you want your photo in front of the stove, or do you want in front of, like, your frogs? Like, do you like any particular ones you want behind you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, she says. I mean, you can see now in the light, and she's a woman probably in her late 60s. She looks fairly frail. She's got long grey hair, which is hanging loose. And she's wearing a heavy coat over what's obviously a nightdress. But she seems oblivious to all of this, and she sort of starts looking around enthusiastically at all the frogs and says, "Oh, how about this one?" And she picks up this little, very small diorama of what appears to be a wedding in progress with a frog preacher marrying a frog in a suit and a frog in a wedding dress.
Well, that's one you want. That's the one we'll have in your photograph. And I'll ask him if she's ready. If she's ready, I'll do the pull out my little tape measure, and we'll do a proper photograph of her with her frog diorama.
All right. And yeah, she's just beaming as she's holding this up in front of her. And she's got about 3 teeth left, but yeah, it's still a warm smile.
Okay. Looks like I closed out my roll 20. Let me pop back in here and roll my dice.
I can tell you in exactly 100 years, a woman named Veronica will buy this for a good amount of money.
I mean, heart frog legs are well known witch ingredient. Just saying.
Got it. Rolled a 15. Got a hard success on my photograph of this.
Yeah, this you reckon this is going to make a fantastic photograph.
Oh yeah, this is going to be great. We'll put it right next to her interview talking about witches.
She blinks wildly after the flash goes off and says, "Oh, that's just like the lights I see dancing over the marsh sometimes."
I give the elbow to my young journalist friend to ask a question.
So, Miss Eisner, wasn't it? How long have the witches been in this area? Is there a history of them, or is it relatively new?
Ever since colonial times.
Okay, and they've just lived like quietly among the community, or how come they were never hunted or removed?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we used to hang them. We used to hang them back in the 1600s, but since we stopped hanging them, they're everywhere now.
So these lights, these witch lights, have these always been here, or is this a recent occurrence?
I've only been seeing them recently. I mean, I've always heard the witches out in the marsh, and there's strange songs and blasphemous rites out there. But the lights in the sky, they're new. I don't like them. Don't like them at all.
Is there a pattern to the lights? Like, do they happen at a regular interval? Is it triggered by a full moon? Do you hear these witch noises just before they appear?
I don't know. I suppose there are usually noises, but I don't know. I when I see them, I come inside. I don't want to meet whatever's making those.
When the light appears, where exactly is it coming from? Is it coming just, you know, from one particular place, or are the lights just, here and there?
Up there, she says, and she just points up. Or out on the marsh, out in the reeds, anywhere. They can be anywhere, just like witches.
Oh, that's just right, terrifying.
And this, Mr. Fry, Otis, which direction is his abode, his residence?
I don't know. I shouldn't be telling you that, should I? Mrs. Fry is very private. She wouldn't like it if I told you where she lived.
Look, Mrs. Eisenhower, or Eisner, even. I'm going to produce out like a little kind of contact card, business card details for Stranger True. We're from this magazine, and we investigate the paranormal and the occult and try and help people like you to remove their problem.
Oh.
That's why we're here.
I'll tell you what. Can we have a group luck roll, please? So I think that's going to be you, Gager.
Go on.
It's going to be...
Oh, good man. Finally, he hit one.
This is
25. Okay. As you mentioned Strange But True, her eyes light up, and suddenly she scurries over to a corner of the shack and comes back with this string-tied bundle of back issues of Strange But True. And she said, I never miss an issue.
Oh, look at the cover. That's my story about the mutant alligators in the sewers of New York. That's me. And point to my name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
Oh. Weren't you scared going down there in the sewers with all those alligators?
I mean, I was not. We had protection, and the eyewitness accounts we got gave a very good detailed... I actually drew that picture because I'm skilled in art. Just boasting for no reason to this woman in the middle of a marsh.
You should have said you were from Strange But True. Oh, does that mean my picture's going to be in the magazine?
It is, and if we can get some more information and maybe some, you know, hard evidence pictures, it could even be front page material.
The front page of Strange But True.
Literally, tens of people will read your story.
Oh, you could just about see the stars in her eyes at this stage. I suppose under the circumstances, Hannah wouldn't mind me saying. I mean, if it's for Strange But True, she does. She lives in the salt marshes, about a half mile from here. It's very easy to miss. It's on one of the little side roads that goes off the Innsmouth Road. I'll draw you a little map if you give me a page from your notebook.
Tears one out, hands her the pencil and page.
Okay. And, yeah, I mean, with her arthritic fingers, she draws as good a map as she can manage. I mean, it is just really a few wavy lines. She doesn't bother labelling anything. And she just hands you back this page with a few wavy lines on it. And so, you'll find it now.
Thank you. And look, I can see it now. Look, the mysterious town of Ipswich, you'll be on the front with your witches. If we can get a picture of Mr. Fryer and his space contraption is going to bring him to outer space, which he's building with all that material. Like, do you know where that is? We can get a picture of that. Get the whole town on the map.
I don't know. Oh, is that what he's building? Yes. I don't know. I'd always thought that he was building a still out there in the marshes.
Okay, then.
I'm sure he wouldn't be that.
There's a lot of stills out there.
That is illegal.
Yeah. Well, it holds up, though.
I'm sure there are.
I'd like to take a moment to just look around her frog dioramas.
Just make Scott describe them.
If there's any.
Give us 19 different dioramas.
I'd like to have a detailed description of each. And what I'm looking for is one that might actually be valuable to a special collector or someone of the sort.
Ooh.
Do any of these frogs have names? I mean, this one here looks like it has a good name.
That's also Helen.
I'll tell you what, give me an appraise roll to see whether you can find a particularly valuable looking frog diorama.
As a mermaid, she's surely got an advantage on appraising stuff that is amphibious.
That would be great. I rolled a 57 for 55. I'll use 2 luck to bring that down.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you reckon that some of this stuff to the right collector might be valuable as sort of outsider art or folk art or something like that. A lot of places would see it as junk, but yeah, for a few of these, you reckon with the right eccentric collector, you could get some money.
Okay, then. Well, I'm going to give you my business card. And I want you to get in contact with my attorney. And, you know, there's a lot of people that won't take care of your valuables once you're gone from this world. And I just want you to know that old Frida May here will take care of anything that you've got and make sure that it's appreciated and valued for years to come. So if you're interested, unless you've got some heirs of your own, but I can see how special all of your treasures are to you. And I'd just like to be of service to ensure that, you know, they find a rightful home with someone who will appreciate them once you're done, appreciating them.
I suppose so. I'd always just thought that I'd be buried with my frogs.
Oh, but then who could enjoy them? You know, I think these are works of art, and art shouldn't be buried. Art should be displayed in museums. Can you imagine? Imagine finding a woman, giving her first portrait, and then also letting her know she's got museum-quality art right here in her own living room. Amazing. Now that's a strange but true tale.
This has been a, a very strange evening.
But true.
True.
In unison, like a Parmesan quartet, the four of us.
So, Scott, is this how your last playthrough of this
Where we appraised the frogs?
Good God. This is the strange. This is way stranger than the man who thinks he's an alien and some marsh gas is lighting on fire. This is the strangest thing we've encountered in Ipswich so far. Like, this might be the best article we get.
If I could charm her into willing me her frogs, that would be great.
Okay,
Freak leaves the magazine. Up,
make a charm retires. Roll then.
Okay, that's a 18 versus 40. So that's a hard success.
A hard success. I suppose it would be a shame to let all my children die with me.
Absolutely. You know, what we're talking about here is generations and generational wealth. You know, you gotta think ahead for the future. And if you want your babies to live on, they gotta live on above the ground. You can't be waiting for Egyptologist to come over and find you 1,000 years later. No, you'll be skeletons by then.
You do know best.
Absolutely, I do.
If you need any documents signed about this, I mean, send them to me and I'll make my mark on them.
Well, you've just been a real dear, and I hope that you feel better after our little conversation here. And I sure appreciate you, and I take her hands in my hands. I just sure appreciate all of the help that you've been for the magazine and just for our spirits. It's just been a glorious evening to getting to know you.
Well, I'm so glad you found my little hut out here. Do be careful heading back to town and don't let the witches get you.
Never. A witch wouldn't stand a chance against me. I'm a mermaid. And I just pop right out the front door.
I can't tell if your character's really sweet or the most nefarious person I've ever played a game with. It's fucking a weird mix.
I like to call myself multifaceted.
I love that character more and more.
Anthony's going to step forward, kind of half confused, and is like, shake Mrs. Eisner's hand and say, thank you very much for your time. We'll send you some mail to let you know, and a copy of your article when it comes out with your picture.
Oh, no, I'll send you a picture of the copy of the photograph once we've got all the film developed and everything.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Anthony walks out the door confused.
You've made an old woman very happy.
By the way, there is a museum of frog dioramas in Switzerland.
Did you actually Google that, did you?
Quick Google search.
Oh my God, I'm going to Google this.
I started posting pictures on our Discord over here.
Oh man, I'm so excited.
Oh my God!
This, I'm going to see this reaction.
Oh, these things are absolutely real. I've been horrified and fascinated by these things ever since coming across a whole bunch of different varieties of them in a junk shop in Cat Street in Hong Kong back in the 80s.
Oh my God, the dentist one is amazing.
They're a thing.
The dentist is my favorite.
Someone's got an Etsy page for taxidermy frogs.
If you jump on my Twitter after you hear this, lads, and go back to the 17th of April, you'll find some of these pictures, because I'm going to share the shit out of these. I'll just put the comment. To understand this picture, you need to listen to At How We Roll this episode.
Yes.
That is bananas. So there you go. 80 years later, it gets all the way from Ipswich in the East Coast of America to Switzerland, apparently.
Oh, the bodybuilder. What? That's adorable.
Well, as Nigel is leaving, the widow Eisner, gives him another, warm smile and says, my next frog, dear, will have a camera.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And she just taps you on the back of the hand.
This is like the most wholesome thing we've ever done in 6 years of the podcast.
She's like tears in her eyes. She's waving us goodbye and saying we're going to die to witches.
That what began with her nearly shooting one of the PCs has ended with the most pure and wholesome.
Yeah,
can we just write this article up and then go back to New York? And we've
yeah, I think we're done here.
Yeah, forget about the lights in the sky. Here's our article on the Ipswich Frog Museum. Yeah.
The Ipswich Frog Lady. Yeah. And this is a thing, you know. Strange but true.
There you go. Oh, man. I do love the line as well. You don't want an Egyptologist to turn up in 1,000 years.
I just love it. Like, I'm a mermaid. And just leaves.
Peace. Yeah. Trying to peace signs and walks out. Like the end of Breakfast Club, one fist in the air, she leaves.
Okay, so what time is it?
Yeah, I mean, at this stage, it's probably about 10 p.m.
Okay.
Honestly, this has been a productive evening, but I do wonder how much further we can take our investigations tonight. Maybe it would be worth retiring and then journeying either into the salt marshes, or maybe we could investigate it through itself. There might be a library or an archive, well, newspaper.
I want to go to Gore's Hardware in the morning.
That man's a rich man because of one dumb dude who thinks he's a spaceman.
Yeah, I say we go back to town. Tomorrow we can check out the newspaper and Gore's Hardware and, you know, kind of investigate this.
And I'm not saying it's not witches, but I suspect these lights are caused by whatever young Otis is building. The coincidences seem to line up too well.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I think that woman was a witch. Did you see the way those frogs are dressed?
Absolutely. You know, anybody could be anyone. You know, you just never know who you're talking to. So I think we ought to go down, hunker down for the night. Maybe get a little bit of extra supper. I gave half my dinner to her. And go from there. I'd be right keen to go down to Gore's and figure out what kind of materials this boy is. And maybe he's got one of those gold coins and we can take a little look at it.
Oh, I'd love to see one of those gold coins. Get a photograph of it. Of maybe maybe buy it off of them. Depending on how much gold it is.
Maybe one of us could, pop down to Innsmouth. Probably nothing there, but, you know, investigate the town for, you know, an hour or so and come back.
No. No, thank you.
Okay. Well, shall we then assume you get back to the hotel safely and pick up a game from the following morning? But yes, the following morning, then, the sun rises over Ipswich and there is a light mist blowing in from the salt marshes. But, yeah, after your escapades the night before, you're woken by the sound of the town coming to life outside. You know, a few cars driving around, and definitely the sounds of industry out there.
Well, I say after we have a breakfast and we head on over to Gore's Hardware.
I take a little sampling of whatever it is that we had for breakfast and I place it in my pouch for a snack later.
Was there? You said there was like a sort of restaurant attached to the hotel?
Yes, but there's also a diner across the road as well, the Ipswich Diner. So you're spoiled for choice.
Maybe head over to the diner for breakfast, see if we can pick up any more information. Maybe the locals have got something to say about these witch lights and strange sounds.
Okay.
Yeah, we meet in the diner kind of to plan the day. And just, we can repeat it out, but in the interest, do we all go to Gore's or do we split up? Because I think my character would be keen to speak to this Elsie Caldwell character. I don't know what we need to all go as for to both places, do we?
I'm going to be interested in going to see if we can see one of those gold pieces, and I have a pretty high appraise skill, so if we want to go, I'll go whatever direction that is. So,
yeah, I wouldn't mind going to go with Tony to, I guess, the newspaper. If there's like an archive, I'd like to do some research on what's been going on in the town.
So Tony the Major are going to the newspaper and Nigel and Frieda are going to Gore's, is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's start with Nigel and Frieda then. So, yeah, you head off down the main street and there's a row of shops down there and it's pretty easy to pick out Gore's Hardware because there aren't that many shops and there is a big sign outside saying Gore's Hardware.
Ding, ding, ding. I walk through the door.
Okay. Follow her.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reasonable sized store. I mean, it looks pretty well stocked. I mean, there's shelves of pretty well all the hardware supplies you might need in a community like this. There's a little counter over towards the back, and there's a young man who looks like he was working on something and suddenly looks up and gives you a big smile and says good morning.
And good morning to you.
Is there anything I can help you with?
Absolutely. I'd like to speak to the manager.
Oh,
or preferably the owner.
Oh, there's not a problem, is there?
Absolutely not. It's for a story we're writing. I've got a New York photographer here that wants to take a photo.
All right. he looks really nervous now and then just goes towards a door in the back and knocks on it and says, Dad, there's a photographer from New York. And the door opens and a much older man with a fairly neat-looking moustache and a short crop of grey hair, wire-framed spectacles, wearing overalls, comes out and looks at the two of you oddly. Sorry, what's this about a photographer?
Oh, hello, sir. Pleased to meet you. My name is Frieda May from Strange But True magazine. This is my photographer from New York. His name is Nigel. And we're here to take a photo and talk to you a bit. It's a follow-up piece from what else he did. And we're just interested in learning about more about this guy with the paying with the gold coins and whatnot.
Photographs. What, do you want to put my picture?
Oh, we don't have to put your picture, but we could put your store. There is nothing better than free advertising, am I right?
You can see him thinking. Give me a psychology roll. You can both do this if you want.
Okay. Well, that's a 36 out of 10, so no.
97 out of 45?
Yeah, well, I mean, Frieda can't get a read on him. Nigel, on the other hand, can see some reluctance there and knows from experience, you've seen this before, what he really needs at the moment is the hard sell.
We'll do the hard sell.
Do you mumble that under your breath?
with that fumble, I'm sure I did.
It's Gore. So, Mr. Gore, you getting a photograph like this, get everybody all over the country all knowing about you, about your gold coins, about your hardware store, about what you need. This is going to put you on the map, sir. This is your luckiest day.
What Frieda can notice, because she's not blinded to all this, I mean, even having failed that role, is at the mention of all that, you can see the blood draining out of Mr. Gore's face.
Quiet, Nigel.
This calls for the hard sell.
He says... he says, I think you'd better be going unless you need any nails or a new hammer or something. I don't think I can help you.
But sir, just one more question. Are you a duck hunter? It's duck hunting time.
I'll tell you what, give me a group luck roll.
Luck is in the two
so
of
us. It's just the two
okay.
of you.
The two of us, okay.
Yes.
I'm a 55. What are you?
58.
Okay, go.
So that's 84. So not great, not great.
He looks at you appalled and says, no, no, we don't do anything like that around here. I mean, I used to have a pet duck when I was a boy. I'd never shoot one of those.
Well, that's exactly why I wanted to talk to you about such a thing, because there are going to be people coming down your way to do duck hunting. And what do you need to do to stop them? We've got wildlife all in the salt marshes that we got to protect. And I just stuff my duck call down into my overalls. Just,
give me a fast talk roll then.
Oh no!
What's happening?
Yeah, no, it's a 53 versus 5.
Okay. Yeah. He is looking less and less happy about this conversation. I can sell you a box of 6-inch nails for a penny, but otherwise I think you'll have to be on your way.
You sound like a man who knows how to sell a great nail. Trying to give me a bargain here. Well, let me tell you what. And I'm going to pull out my appraiser's class and be like, let me tell you how to get the most for those gold coins what that little Lotus boy's bringing in here. Now, you could take them to the bank and they're going to give you the daily rate. But you don't want to do that. What you want to do is you trust old Freda May here and she'll give you the right tip. She's going to tell you where to take that gold to get the best price. Now, you're a man of business.
Sounds like you're pushing the role, and I'll let you use either charm or persuade for this.
Okay, great. Charm sounds wonderful. God damn it. okay. 86 versus 40.
Mr. Gore nods and says, I have just the thing. And he reaches down behind the counter. And when he comes up, he's not holding a gold coin. He's holding a shotgun.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. A customer.
My hand on Frida's shoulder, and we can back away.
You know, we were going to give you a good press, but now we're going to give you a terrible press as you are.
Squeezing a little harder on Frida's shoulder.
59 years of living and I ain't never been so insulted.
You have a good day, sir.
What a terrible string of luck. Okay.
And as you get outside onto the street, on the other side of the road, parked down a little bit, you can see that black car that you saw from last night. And again, there are four men in it, all dressed in black coats with black hats on, wearing sunglasses. And all of them are looking at you. And shall we leave it there?
Fantastic. That was brilliant. Again, thank you so much, everyone, for playing tonight. And thank you, everyone at home, for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have enjoyed playing it. We'll do a quick sign-off. So if you want to get hold of all of us, you want to get hold of me, my name is Joe Tree. You can find me on Twitter at JoeTheGM and also at HWRPodcast. I highly recommend checking out the podcast Discord page. We've got tons of people on there and tons of stuff going on. And there's links to that in the show notes. If you'd like to support the show, the absolute best way of doing so is to go to patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. Not only will you get early access to all our episodes, but there's a whole ton of stuff on there which is only available to patrons, including some Call of Cthulhu stuff and some Cult Divinity Lost. patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. Riyad, Owen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Is there anything you'd like to share, plug, or mention?
Do it short and sweet this time. I'm basically How We Roll Owen everywhere on the internet. Owen is EOGHAN, Twitter, Twitch. If you want me to guest on a show, hit me up at gmail.com with the same address. Always down to collaborate with people, but yeah, I have a Discord that's also on my Twitter, pinned as a top comment. Come hang out. You've heard this probably 600 times at this point, guys. Come on. Drop me a follow.
And again, Seth, thank you so much for joining us again. Where can people find more of you?
You can mostly on my YouTube channel under the name Seth Skorkowski. And I'll talk about various role-playing games from Call of Cthulhu, Traveler. Started trying out Cult. And you can also find me on Twitter under the name S Skorkowski, where I'm normally just talking about random stuff, usually whatever movie I happen to be watching at the time.
That's our last player tonight. Again, thank you so much for joining us, Veronica. Is there anything you'd like to share, plug, or mention?
Yeah, if you want to follow me on the internet, I am most active on Twitter @typicalveronica. That's one word, typical Veronica. If you want to see pictures of my garden, you can follow me on Instagram, and that's @typicalveronica. Again, one word. And you can check out my podcast, St. Paxton Podcast. We play Pulp Cthulhu, and we stream that live every Sunday at 8 p.m. on twitch.tv/geeklyinc. And then we release the following Friday.
Amazing. And last but by no means least, again, thank you so much, Scott, for taking us through this incredibly wholesome Call of Cthulhu adventure. It's been a blast.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. I mean, I guess how wholesome you find it depends on whether or not you're a frog.
That's fair point.
But, I mean, apart from that...
It could have died naturally, and then...
Yes, obviously. but yes, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at S Dorwood. Alternatively, if you want to find out the other stuff that I'm involved with, take a look at blasphemoustomes.com and perhaps check out the Good Friends of Jackson Elias podcast while you're there if you want to hear some creepy stuff.
Thank you so much. And again, we'll be back next week with the next episode.